1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Here we are back on Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Joining us is, and thank you for coming back again,
Alana
Ubach. Right?
Hello,
I pronounced it right this time?
You pronounced it right, my friend.
Thank you very much. And you know her, of course, from Meet the Fockers. And we got in a lot of trouble last time you were here saying that over and over again. She played the, how do you describe it, lusty maid?
Say, was the Juan who said he was a handsome, and I'm not even going to say it because I know the FCC is just going to kick
just
your
all,
butt.
All over. She was an airborne Renaissance man. I made her TV debut in Romper Room, which is really kind of amazing.
It's very exciting.
How did you go from, grew up in Downey.
Yeah, I was 4 years old, and I always watched Romper Room, and my mom found out that they were having auditions, and I had an aunt who worked for KTLA
at the
time. So I went over there with a couple of costumes, my little Wonder Woman outfit, and I was just like, hi, I'm here, and just
do you remember
cut in line.
Back,
I was the worst.
You were like, I'm trying to put you in history. That would have been like 1967 or something, 68?
Oh, baby. That would have been 79.
79, okay. I was there a romp room?
But
I don't remember there being a romp room in the 70s.
Yeah, there was. There was. You know the woman who was Maria?
Yeah.
I see Alana. I see Hugo. I see
Bobby. That's Hobo Kelly.
I see Frank.
That's Hobo Kelly.
Is that Hobo Kelly?
You are Hobo Kelly, not Romper Room.
No,
she put
baby.
On the huge glasses.
No, it was Romper Domper Stomper Dude.
Okay.
You know, yeah, we popped bubbles.
Well, you're
and
too
everything.
Young then to remember this, but back in the day, in the 60s, kids could just kind of walk onto these sets. You know, they'd need audiences of kids in Los Angeles, and they would just sort of go on One Drama, go on the Jerry Mahoney Show.
Wow, those are the days.
No, everyone's looking at me like, what the hell are you talking about?
It was pretty amazing.
You were at the tail end of all that.
Yeah, I was.
But you were a regular
really
cast member.
Yeah, absolutely.
You founded a comedy team?
I did. It's called Velcro Troupe. And we, basically, I tried out for SNL last year, and my boyfriend, Skylar Stone, hi, plug, yeah. So we basically got flown out to New York and flown right back, and we had all these characters in our back pockets, and I thought, you know what? I just got a residual from Legally Blonde. We're going to make these short films and put them on our website, and Skylar has always wanted to do something like this. I mean, so he basically created this, and he said, we'll call it Velcro, and we brought our genius comedian friend, Zach Johnson, aboard, and it's just three of us, Zach Johnson, Skylar Stone, and me.
Can they see it on the web?
Oh, yeah.
What do you do?
Basically, we did a bunch of these shorts. If you go to www.velcrotroupe.com, so T-R-O-U-P-E or T-R-O-O-P.
Both.
Yeah, absolutely.
V-E-L-C-R-O.
Yeah. Right. For the illiterates and the smart people. What are you going to do?
For everybody.
For everybody. But we put something together because I did this thing where Angelina Jolie and Jennifer Aniston get into a fight.
That's funny.
It was fun. So I showed up at the audition with, like, this wig that was part Jennifer Aniston and part Angelina Jolie. So it was some fun stuff. I mean, yeah, both of them were fighting. They run into each other at a donut shop.
Have you ever met either of them?
I have not. Oh, actually, I went to acting school with Angelina Jolie. Back then, she was Angie Voight. And she was very sexy. I'm straight, but I think the right, yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, she has, I think we've all dropped the cheese off our cracker at one point. You know, Dr.
Yeah, but
Drew?
She dropped it and put it in a syringe and started shooting it.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
It's pretty amazing. I knew her when she was 14, and and she was very, very mature. I mean, you know, it was obvious that she was born and raised in Los Angeles, and she had a lot of silver rings, and she just talked like this, and she was really sexy, you know? She had that
14.
Like, she was 14, and she was already saying, F me, now, you know?
Just no. Like,
no, she wasn't, but her eyes were saying it.
That's
all I'm saying.
I see. Are these things on? This work? This, okay, just checking. So, because I mean, here's my thing on poor Angelina. You don't.
Poor Angelina.
No, because you don't be a heroin addict and then not be a heroin addict.
Was she really a heroin addict?
That's what John Voight was saying. Remember, there was a whole big thing about her needing help and she's on heroin.
Oh, my God.
And that is a chronic illness. And after that, you're either on methadone or you're in recovery or you're using opiates.
Or you're getting on planes every 5 seconds and trying to run away from
them. No. You're
arms freaking.
I think you're the one who started that whole rumor. You said that you saw her on a plane and she was sleeping after everyone was already off the plane. And you're like, you know what that means.
I know what
she's
the
tired.
Hell. I know what you're talking about. Because
she's dreaming about something.
No, I mean, if she was a heroin, if she was a heroin addict, I rescind the entire thing. But I remember that whole thing about the blood and the vial that she wore with the Billy.
Yeah. I met her all before all that stuff. I mean, we were together for about a couple of years, and she was just painfully shy.
Really?
Yeah. And I was just this obnoxious turd that she wanted nothing to do with. I
loud?
Know, can you imagine me?
I thought you'd be a vanishing flower at that age. A wallflower.
Yeah, I had a Harley, and I was just the epitome of cool. Right from Downey. No, right. but anyway.
We're going to take calls. Ready? Okay, describe the character in Legally Blonde and Legally Blonde 2.
Oh, Legally Blonde, I played Serena. I was the ditzy bimbo cheerleader friend of
the dark-haired one.
Were
there three of them?
Yeah, the kind of a Jewish-American princess one who was very much...
Is there an ethnicity you won't play?
Is there? No, absolutely not. Just, absolutely not.
What is your ethnicity?
My ethnicity, Puerto Rican and Mexican. Sorry, yeah. Seriously. My grandparents were Spanish Jews, though. I like to add that in. Moranos, baby.
Seriously?
That's what my mom says.
So there's plenty of ethnicities. You've got them all covered.
She's just trying to sound fancy, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
These microphones are very phallic, by the way.
Oh, Alana, it's such fun having you here. Let's talk to you. Let's talk to Molly. Molly, what's up? You're on with Alana Ubach. I choke on your last name every time. It's Alana Ubach.
Oh, whatever. Adam Carolla called it Ubach. Kind of turned me on.
Or is it Ubach?
It's Ubach, whatever.
Well,
Chewbacca.
Why did he did it as Ubach, like very specifically, like was coached to say it that way. All right. You bitch. All right, it's good.
I love it.
All right, Molly, you're on with Alana, you bitch.
What's up, Molly? Molly?
Uh-oh. Technical problem
here. Are you
dead?
Molly.
There you go. Molly, we're going to get rid of you. How is Crystal?
Yes.
Crystal.
Hello.
There you are. What's happening?
Hi, how you doing?
We're good.
Hi, what's up?
First time I've talked to you. I've been listening to your show for years, and it's great. I'm glad to be on here. I have two questions, actually. My first one is, how do you go about wanting to have a serious relationship, actually start one, when you have, like, a lot of dirty laundry in your past? Like,
what?
In my teenage years, I went around and I slept with a lot of men. And
men or teenagers, your peers, other teenagers,
sometimes older men around nobody over 30 years old.
Was something going on where you were depressed or you were doing drugs or have you
feel
been
like
abused?
I was pretty much depressed, and I didn't have like that love for my family. Nobody really showed me love, you know. It's just everybody was out at work, everybody was out the house, I was by myself.
How were you able to break that pattern?
I'm sorry?
How were you able to break that pattern?
That pattern of what? Sleeping with a lot of men. I just actually started hanging out with a lot of people, and I don't know, it just fell off. I just wasn't interested. I think the whole time while I was sleeping with all these men is just that I was looking for that temporary love.
Well, you know, I understand, but that it's interesting that you were able to get that under control of it. How many guys did you actually sleep with?
I can't count. I see about 30.
All right, so it's pretty high numbers, but not crazy, right?
No.
So what should she do, Alana?
Well, I would, are you on a birth control? Do you use condoms? Did you protect yourself, kiddo?
I use condoms, and I check myself for STDs, yeah.
Good.
Happy about that.
Okay, so he's managed to escape all that without a kid and without an STD and without a... an addiction.
Yeah, absolutely. There are these, what happened in your past can obviously affect, you know, the present right now, and obviously you are affected by
it. Should she tell the potential boyfriend?
Absolutely.
Yes?
I think the truth is if he asks you, I mean...
Guys, that young guys will freak out about
young guys do freak out. How old are you?
I'm 22 years old. My boyfriend's 21 years old.
Don't tell him. No. He's just starting to drink.
20?
Poor thing.
And he's a virgin, so I'll be...
Oh, he's a virgin. Tell him he's your first or your second.
No, just say more mystery, less history.
More mystery, less history. Absolutely.
Yes, what counts is that you really care about him now and you're excited about being with him.
And you're thinking about going to Belgium and becoming a nun after you have an affair with him.
But I don't think... he's going to pimp you for it. Guys, like they really work on that, young guys. They scratch on it like an old scab or something. They've got to make it bleed. Once they unearth it, he's got to settle the score. Wait a minute, I've got some work to do. I got to catch up with you. It's like, And then they get guilty, and how could you, and they shame you, and it can be a whole thing. I think better you just sort of, don't lie, but just sort of say, look, it's just, that was the past. Now I'm going forward with you, okay?
Okay, great. Okay, and I have another question. From the past that I had where I didn't feel loved or anything, do you see that in any way affecting, like, me as an adult? Like how I am now, maybe there's some way that's affecting me that I'm, you know, not knowing about it, but it's there?
Yeah, it can affect your, obviously, your self-esteem. It can affect your ability to thereby to sort of be, feel competent and to feel worthwhile. And as a result of that, sometimes people have difficulty regulating their emotions. Their sort of duration and intensity of feelings are too prolonged and too negative. So that's all possibly there. But good relationships will help repair a lot of that. So you're kind of on the right road, Crystal.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I'm glad to hear that. All right.
Sure, good luck.
Sorry.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
Here's Nick.
Buy me a Coke. Hi, Nick.
Hi.
What's up, Nick? How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good.
Sorry.
You sound sexy.
Fuckers.
Oh, yes.
It was good, right?
Thanks, man.
The accent was a knockout for me.
Oh, right on.
Got me with that.
I think every Mexican family has that aunt, you know what I mean? Who comes over with the gifts and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Anyway, Dr. Drew, I am.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Nick? Sorry. I couldn't hear that.
Dr. Drew, I love you.
I asked Dr. Drew how to do and love the show.
I'm no good, thanks.
Oh, yeah.
What's up there, Nick?
Okay, for the question, I've always had a healthy sex life, never had any issues. I'm dating this girl now. We've attempted 4 or 5 times, and I cannot seem to get the arousal. I've got an erection. I've lost it during the last time. I just couldn't even get one. I want to know what might be my problem.
What most of America is having a problem with. What?
Which is what?
Which is, you know, erectile dysfunction, and there's Viagra. There's stuff for this. You know?
Well,
is that something that just develops? I mean, I just...
It's over half of men experience it, and it's as you get older, obviously, it's more common. At your age, it can be an anxiety symptom, but it's also very typical of medical problems and medication side effects. Are you on any medication?
I'm not. I was going to ask, is alcohol a factor at all?
Alcohol can be, pot can be, drugs can be, depression can be, though not as much as you might think. Anxiety is probably the most important thing. Is this girl really sort of freak you out? Are you super, you know, want to impress kind of thing?
Well, yeah. Every time now I get more intimidated, like, you know, I have to do it this time. I have to follow through with it, and it just...
Right, and that's called anticipatory anxiety, whereby the thought of it happening again makes you so anxious that it makes it happen again.
Mm.
Is this something... Okay. Are you really into this girl? Are you sort of afraid of getting involved with her?
No, I've known her for a while. I'm actually, you know, we're dating. We're seeing each other, and I'm really attracted to her. She's a gorgeous girl. All the interest is there. It's just the sex... horrible.
Does she react to it negatively? Does she go, oh my God, you don't think I'm attractive?
Yeah, does she put the pressure on you like, what's this whiskey penis?
You know, she doesn't.
That's Alana's line, by the way. What's that?
She seems to be understanding, but I don't know if that's just because she's embarrassed at the same time as me or...
Might be reasonable. First of all, you might want to see a doctor just to make sure there's not something going on. It's actually even a harbinger of heart disease, believe it or not. So it's something just to get checked out to make sure there's not some medical thing here sort of predisposing you for it. And then secondly, it would be fine to take something like Viagra to sort of get you kickstarted. It wouldn't be something I'd like to see a young guy like you on chronically, but it's something that could sort of rebuild your confidence.
Now, is there anything besides that? You know, I've heard there might be some kind of natural food or something that...
No.
What about porno? Do you guys watch pornos or anything like that?
Guano?
Do you watch pornos?
Oh, I do.
Pornos, Vivid Entertainment.
I masturbate regularly and...
Awesome.
Why don't you back off on that a little bit, too, so you sort of have more energy behind this. And then the pornography, if she's into it, I guess that's okay. But, look, there are no... Do not... There are no foods that overcome this. There's no natural... Those things do not work. Don't be silly, Nick. If they work, they'd be pharmacological agents anyway. So, look, if you need help with this, get it. But I'm urging you to get a medical evaluation to make sure there isn't something going on because there could be some medical problem. I'll tell you what, that erectile function is one of the more sort of sensitive indicators of the health and well-being of the male body. And so if he's really having problems or he's sort of predisposed to it and it's unusual for him, you'd want to get that looked into.
I'm sorry.
Let's see. This is David.
Yes. I have a problem with my penis. It's small, and I'm really self-conscious about it, and I'm afraid to have sex.
Good. You're 14, for crying out loud.
Oh, don't worry about it. It's not about size.
But he shouldn't be having sex at 14.
Are you having sex right now?
No.
Oh, okay, good.
Thankfully, God has been good to him and given him a delay in his pubertal development. Your voice tells me, David, that you really haven't had your pubertal growth spurt yet. That's all going to take care of itself by the time you're 18. Thank God you're not ready with equipment to go into action.
No,
you're too young for it. Relax. It's going to take care of itself. It's always awkward at 14, 15, because everyone's at such a different stage of development. They're men in that class, and they're little boys in the same class. And they just... I'll tell you what, the later the puberty, the taller you are typically, and the longer you live.
Yeah, I stopped puberty at 8.
You stopped puberty at 8?
Yeah, that's why I'm 4'2". Anyway, kiddo, are you there?
He's still there.
Small penis, you fag.
He's there. Yes, he's there. Talking
Sweets?
To 14. David?
Yes.
David.
Yeah.
You have a small penis, you fag.
I lost my virginity when I was about, I was like 15 and a half, and it was planned and everything, and I was so emotionally immature, not ready for it. I didn't even know what sex was really about until I was about 23, and I'm 30, and that was like 7 years ago, and I'm still trying to kind of figure things out. I wouldn't call myself a champ. So, you know, the longer you wait, the cooler you are, because as you emotionally mature, you're more confident, and it's not about... your looks or anything like that.
Not only that,
it
gets you hooked up with somebody that in a very intense way that you really may not be ready to be hooked up that deeply with.
Yeah.
At 15, 16, it really is just your body and brain are not quite ready for it yet. This is Amy.
Yes.
Hey, Amy.
Hi.
What's up, girl?
What's up? Happening? I can't believe I'm finally on with you guys.
Here you are. This time it's Alana Eubach, too. You bitch.
I love you, Doctor.
What's up, Amy?
Okay. I am 32 years old. I have a 14-year-old son. Yes, I had him when I was young. The problem is I found his porno magazines. Am I supposed to ask him about this, or should I just let it go? Because I was told you kind of have to be, you know, kind of delicate about this situation. I don't want to screw him up for life, if you know what I mean.
Have you talked to him about sex and all that?
Yes, I have.
Oh, okay.
I think this would be... I'd make light of it and say, hey, I found your stash, and just kind of tease him a little bit. Boys respond to teasing, believe it or not, a little bit. Don't shame him for it. Do not sort of make him feel bad or sort of intruded upon. And use it as an opportunity to reinforce that you're available if he has questions.
Okay.
That's great, and I hope he's not making plans sort of thing, and here's what I expect from you. And it's an opportunity to sort of open up and go, you know, just what Alana was just doing a few seconds ago, saying, you know, wait till you're 16, wait till you're 18. It's a chance to really communicate a little bit about this stuff and make him feel okay. And, again, guys like a little teasing and ribbing about stuff. It lightens their load.
And I think that's healthy that he looks at magazines.
Absolutely. A little bit young. Yeah. Let me ask one more question. Is he at puberty?
Yes, he is.
So he's sort of, it's kind of an early developer, yes?
Yes.
All right. That's good times.
I would say so.
All right. It's all normal.
He's over 6 foot tall.
I'd say that would be puberty.
Oof.
Yeah. He's ready to go.
Oh, my.
So you really want to have a talk with him. Keep him kind of contained here.
Put him in a cage. Lock him up.
Josh.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi.
Come on, Josh.
Sorry, I'm 22. I live in Arizona now. I used to live in California, although that has nothing to do with why I'm calling. I experimented with a friend, a guy, when I was in the fourth grade, right? And, yeah, I'm sure you love that.
By the way, that's not experimenting. That was somebody having been sexualized by an adult acting out with somebody.
But the person that I was with wasn't an adult. He was my age. We were both.
That's what I'm saying. That means that an adult sexually abused him.
That's
why kid
getting into something with his brother.
There you go.
Oh,
that's the only way that happens, because 9-year-olds or 8-year-olds don't have any biology to urge them towards true sexual kind of contact. They explore. They may peek and stuff, but have sexuality. That's because an adult sexualized them.
Uh huh.
Wow.
That's interesting. But I mean, I'm really hit a point further on in my life where I've gone on and done more. My question is, although I guess it's interesting to consider it now because I'm on the air nationally, is, you know, I've always been a top. I never have enjoyed being the person on the receiving end in terms of anal sex. And I'm the only surviving male on either side of my parents' family and really feel the need to have children. And I don't really feel like... I was really shy.
What do you mean, surviving male? What happened to the other ones?
Oh, my father has a sister who didn't have any male children. My mother has two brothers who had no male children, so I'm the only male child from either side of my parents' family in this generation.
All right.
So I really want to have kids. I want to pass on the genetic line, right?
So...
Yeah, and I mean, the advice that I've got a lot is you're gay, get over it, pay someone to have your kid, find a partner to have the kid with, or do it yourself. But I mean, I was really shy around women when I was younger, and this whole gay thing sort of presented itself as like an easy outlet for sex, and maybe I'm sexually compulsive, and I don't know, I mean, should I, why not give women a shot and see if I can have...
No, that's a mistake, I think, to try, unless you work it out with a therapist to really sort things out, because you could hurt yourself and somebody else in the process. Trying to be straight if you're gay is a huge mistake. That's going to hurt everybody.
I dated a boy who I just knew was gay, but we got along so well. We talked about musicals, and we saw Michael Feinstein.
Gay men are a much better version of the male.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's a little stereotypical, but I understand what you're trying to say.
I was going for the stereotype, which is why it didn't last.
Did it actually happen like that? That actually the kind of guy he was?
Yeah, I knew he was gay, and he just wasn't out of the closet yet.
But they actually liked all those things you're...
Oh, Michael Feinstein and such. Sure.
Yeah.
Turn me on to Ella Fitzgerald. I thank him for it.
Interesting.
But, I mean, that's the other thing, is I'm not that type of guy. I mean, I'm not the stereotypical, musical-loving, you know.
I get it. I understand. And you were sexually, you had child-on-child sexual abuse when you were a kid, but that does tend to set sexual orientation sometimes. And so it's hard to kind of undo that. That's not something you sort of wish away. There it is, and you're having attractions for men. You like being a man. You're gay, and that's good. That's fine. But if you want to have kids, what about getting a surrogate and then raising it with a male partner?
Yeah, but I mean, then what about all the social issues that come up with that? I mean, we may be advancing as a country, but I mean, I listened to your show, and I've heard, you know, not even just on your show. I mean, we've got states in 2004 that voted down gay marriage. And I mean, you know, it's not exactly the most popular thing. Do I want to raise a kid in that kind of an environment where people think negatively of the fact that he has a father who's gay?
You're right. However, I know in, you know, lots of, you know, I've just been through a whole sort of grammar school experience with my kids. In lots of classes, there were gay parents.
Yeah.
And certainly within the community and within the classes, people are warmly embraced as parents like anybody else. Just because we haven't sort of institutionalized anything doesn't mean you can't have a good family life.
I think it's very progressive and evolved, and I would go for it if I were.
I don't know. You know, I don't know what to say. Or maybe you could have, I don't know, a single female that wants to share. It's going to be a non-traditional situation almost no matter what. But I would suspect just a couple of people that really like each other and really love each other, raising somebody in a stable environment, be a reasonable thing.
I look at traditional as being dysfunctional nowadays. You know what I mean?
Well, it's so commonly as dysfunctional as the problem.
Yeah.
Is a highly evolved heterosexual couple better than a highly evolved gay couple?
I
don't know, maybe. But that's not what... Most kids don't get to be raised by either of that. Mm-hmm. And in your case, you're a pretty stable guy. You know, if you find somebody you really liked, it'd probably be a pretty good situation.
Yeah, I don't know. All the relationships I've had, the people that I've been with have been very unstable.
Well, that's the thing, one thing you did say that bothers me is you said you're sexual compulsive. And so if you are, and that's a very common thing in the gay community, have real sexual addictions, and having been sexually abused as a child sort of sets you up for that. So if you do anything, I would suggest you get some work, some therapy with that so you can get a stable relationship, be attracted to somebody who's healthy, and then decide what you're going to do as far as child rearing. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. I apologize again. I've got this horrible cough, and some of this is the air conditioning in here. It's worse when I get in here, otherwise it's a sweat.
It's
awful. I know. It's awful, though. Alana, you bitch. You last saw her waiting with Ryan Reynolds and, of course, my friend Andy Milonakis. You have an Andy drop for us, Anderson?
Andy.
She founded the sketch comedy team Velcro Troop at velcrotroop.com. Anderson?
Dirty talk. It's dirty talk. Dirty, dirty, dirty. It's dirty talk. Hey.
That's Andy.
It's dirty talk. Hey.
And we will be taking your calls again at 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be back with Lana Ubach in just a second. Back on Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Alana Ubach in here tonight.
Mom.
It's the VelcroTroop.com, spelled either T-R-O-U-P or T-R... No, T-R-O-U-P-E or T-R-O-O-P.
But you can check it out on MySpace. We're attacking MySpace right now. We're like the number one iFilm short film.
And you're called Velcro?
Yes, we're called Velcro. And you can actually like download all of our crazy short films on your iTunes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's groovy for free.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah.
And you've seen her in Waiting across from Ryan Reynolds. And, of course, my buddy Andy Milonakis.
And my bush.
Andy Milonakis?
Dr. Drew, it's Dr. Drew. That's right, y'all, it's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew, it's Dr. Drew. Eating peanut butter jelly with Dr. Drew. I don't know how to have sex, ask Dr. Drew. My penis looks weird, ask Dr. Drew. My vagina is crying, ask Dr. Drew. My ferret got me pregnant, ask Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew, ask Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is magic and his penis is blue.
Oh, my God!
And you said he kisses well?
He's a great kisser. I French kiss him in the rap video at the end of
Now
Waiting.
I need the vomit drop. I really
do. It was like eating Gerber's.
Nice.
I'm joking. I just
licked. You also know her as Serena in Legally Blonde, all the Legally Blonde films, and of course Meet the Fockers and et cetera, and Romper, and we talked about earlier. But let's get back to the caller, shall we?
Yes.
Okay. Here is Kelly.
The private vehicle.
Kelly?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
What's happening there?
Oh my gosh, I didn't know I was on. Okay.
Here you are,
baby.
Okay, I have a question. I had vaginitis like a year ago, and it was cured, or what I thought was cured, and I have it again, and I was wondering, is it like a chronic thing that just won't go away no matter how many times I cure it?
What's vaginitis? Is it?
Vaginitis literally means inflammation of the vagina, but it's typically a bacterial vaginitis or a yeast vaginitis.
Oh.
So what is it you had?
Bacterial.
And do you know what the bacteria, what kind of bacteria?
No, I don't.
There's a number of women get these recurrent episodes that are caused by bacteria that just sort of live in that area. They actually come from the colon.
Yes!
From a colon?
That's hot.
Well,
wait, I have a question.
Hey, Drew, I got a question real quick.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Is it
from wiping from back to front?
Maybe. That could be one of the kind. Sometimes it's just sort of the bacteria just get around.
Yeah, baby, you want to wipe from front to back. That's how you want to wipe.
I do. I have a question. If my boyfriend was to, like, stick his finger inside my colon and then in my vagina, could that be how it's caused?
No, don't do that.
That is definitely how you go. I mean, you don't have to use your imagination, Kelly, when I just finished saying the bacteria come from your colon and they can transfer it from his finger to your vagina. Of course it can.
Las cacotas en la vagina.
So it gets tighter is what you're saying, right, Drew? If it gets swollen, it gets tighter. So what's the problem?
Yeah.
No, that's vaginismus. This is vaginitis.
But if it's swollen inside, it would be tighter as well.
No, it doesn't get swollen.
That's a
shame. Doesn't get. No, sorry, Anderson. You're all over this tonight.
Anderson.
I think he likes you, Alana.
He likes vaginas, obviously.
Indeed.
Oh, your girl.
But Kelly, so you're getting these bacterial vaginoses from colon bacteria that your boyfriend sort of transports with his fingers. It's a lovely situation. But why don't we back off on some of that a little bit, or maybe wash the hands before we go from one orifice to the next?
Hey, do it in the shower.
All righty.
Say one more thing. We watched Waiting tonight, and one of my friends is exactly like your character. She is neurotic.
Right on. Rob McKittrick, really.
Thanks, Kelly. Keep up the hygiene.
And keep running.
Miranda.
Hi.
Hey, Miranda. You want Alana Ubach?
Miranda, what's up?
Okay, number one, I really respect you and enjoy your show. I was wondering what the risks were for having sex with a tampon in.
The main thing is not getting it out at all after you're finished. Yeah, it goes.
The penis can push the tampon through, and before you know it, it's hard to grab and take out.
Right, I've done it before, and I had once the tampon actually rotated, or like the strings were on the other side, and I had to go fish for it. But
right, yeah, it's hard to fish them out when they get like that.
You're probably dry, weren't you? You're probably very dry, weren't you?
Dry? No, I wasn't very dry. No, not at all.
How dare you?
No.
And the problem is that it can stay in there and cause toxic shock. That's the biggest problem.
Okay. So right, you may need to go get a professional to get out.
No, I'm not. Well, yeah. If it stays, you don't want it staying in there, you know, 12 hours. So, wait, you were saying it gets pushed through? That goes in, and now we're looking, we're cross-sectioning.
It could be like horizontal.
We're looking at some pictures of the female reproductive system. That's a vagina, and that's a cervix. And it usually sits down in here, but you push it up, and it gets stuck up in these corners up
here. Yeah. You can do it yourself. Just kind of, you know, you have long fingers. Get your middle finger.
Right.
And you find the punching bag.
And you kind of
search around
to lean down and bear down.
And bear down and
stuck somewhere where, you know, you can't get it out. I don't know. Where it causes sort of, you know, permanent damage or no. No. If I get that. Okay.
Wait, I'm confused. If you leave it in, is that what you said?
No, not leave it in. Just have sex with it in and then, you know, take it out as usual the next morning or whatever.
You're not exactly... I mean, people seem to think that they're... penis and vagina are somehow made out of like latex. They can take unbelievable amounts of trauma, and they'll be fine.
Right,
and Robin.
So you're smashing things around a little bit when you have a foreign body in there. It's not a great idea. You can cause inflammation. Not a disaster. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. All
right, there we go.
Bye.
Another customer saved. This is Cameron.
Hi.
Hey, you're on with Alana Ubach.
That's a cool name for a chick, Cameron.
Yes.
Oh, well, duh, Cameron Diaz, what am I thinking? Yeah, nice.
All right, well, my question is my boyfriend and I were having sex, and he wanted me to kind of eat him in the anus.
What?
He wanted you to eat him in the anus?
Well, put my fingers in him.
Oh, well, yeah, sure.
No, not sure. It's like they're very few guys like that.
Oh, okay.
Cosmos says, yeah, sure, but the reality is he's one of these rare types that's into it. Finding out too much information about
Alana. We've been dating for a while now, and we recently went to a sex store and purchased a play toy, and he wanted me to do him with that as well. Well, my whole thing is that I don't want him to eventually, like, kind of turn gay, if that kind of...
No, it's not as though putting things back there turns somebody gay, nor is there any association between that and a homosexual... sexual orientation. What did you just do?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I just dropped some soda.
Oh, it's looking like you fired something across the room here. So, Cameron, he's one of these rare guys that likes that. There's a certain kind of guy that likes that, and you've got that's your boyfriend. So, there you go.
Okay.
But it's normal. I had a girlfriend of mine who had a boyfriend.
What?
It's about, guys being married for a long time and then end up turning gay. So
yeah, they were gay, not
they
turned
were gay.
To gay. They were gay to begin with, trying to live a straight life, okay?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he'll tell you. Guys are not bashful. They're clear about what they're into. What did you say about a girlfriend?
I had a girlfriend of mine whose boyfriend was into that. He was the most macho guy I've ever met, so.
They tend to be a little bit on the more macho side than not. This is Andrew.
Hello?
Andrew?
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, how you doing?
We're good. You're on with Alana Ubach.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Hi.
My question is, I'm 16, and ever since I was, like, 14, I've had unusually large nipples.
Alana?
Right. I have a girlfriend who has gumdrops, and I more or less have jujubes, and everyone is different, you know? My boyfriend, he has a beauty mark.
I like that we have girlfriends for everything. I have a girlfriend that's got bacterial vaginosis. I got a girlfriend with plate-like nipples. Plate-like, I'm telling you. It's awesome. And?
It's okay. Who cares? Get a clamp. Get an earring put on it. It'll decorate it.
Well, here's the deal. It's 16. Do you smoke a lot of pot?
No.
Are you overweight?
I would say I am.
How much do you weigh?
About 220.
And is there a fair bit of fat behind the... Do you have sort of man boobs?
No. Not at all. That's the thing. They're like... I would say like Hershey Kisses, you know?
Wow.
Well, how large are the nipples?
Thank you, Edison.
Stop it, Drew. It's
we must
disgusting.
Know.
Andrew?
How
he said
they're
like
the
Hershey's Kisses, dude.
Yeah, but he wasn't talking about the nipples, was he?
Yeah. You mean they stick out a ways that you're talking about?
Yes.
So it's not that the areola is so big, it's that they go straight out, yes?
They're kind of puffy, you know what I mean?
Well, are you really embarrassed about it? Has anyone commented on it? Has a girl commented on it before?
No, I'm just worried myself.
Andrew, here's the deal. The puffy thing is actually breast and bud development behind the nipple. That's the men, 16-year-old adolescent males get breast development. There's a certain amount of estrogen produced by the adrenal glands before the testosterone's turn on. And if you smoke pot, if you're overweight, those things tend to contribute to the enlargement of the breast. And some of that will go down. And if it does go down and it bugs you, there are plastic surgeons that can take care of that lickety-split.
Bob Marley wore double Ds.
This is Sonia. What?
Hi, Dr. Drew. How are you?
We're good. What's happening?
What's up, Sonia?
Well, I have been with this man for 7 years, and he was my first. And we kind of had an off-and-off relationship. We have a couple of kids together now. And
off
we're
and off? Hang on, Sonia. Slow
off,
down.
On and off, you mean?
Yeah, on and off.
Did you say off and off?
Off and off.
No, on and off.
Okay.
Like breaking up and, you know, back together. Well, now we have a couple of kids, and we're going through a divorce.
What's How old are you?
I'm 22.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's lovely. Anyways, I've started sleeping with a couple other guys, like a one-night stand, and I don't know, halfway through it, I stopped. I couldn't do it, or I just was like, this is...
You freak out.
Yeah, I freak out. And I tried it with another man, and yeah, I freaked out again.
Of course you do.
You're going through a lot of stuff right now. You know, are you getting divorced? For sure.
Yes.
Why don't you just date and not worry about the sex right now and try to get a relationship going with somebody? Alana says yes, enthusiastically.
Absolutely. Now, you don't want to jump right into bed with someone else. Sex should be emotional.
But not only that, at a time in which you're feeling so conflicted and so overwhelmed, it's going to be empty and feeling more isolated and alone every time you do this, and it's going to make you feel worse. I mean, if you had a friends with benefit, I guess that would work for you. But at this point, I think a real relationship would do you far more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, like, at first, like, I was dating this guy for a little bit. My husband and I were split up. And then, like, we tried to have sex, but it just didn't feel right.
All right, well, then it's not the right guy. Different. Okay. Do you keep dating?
Plenty
keep
of fish
around.
To see, kiddo.
You're only 22, even though you have a couple kids.
I've only been drinking for a year, for gosh sake.
Yeah, if you want to say just a year. Yes. Well, thank you, guys.
You go easy. Why'd you make such a bad mistake with this guy?
I think just because he was my first, I thought I, you know, had to stay with him.
Were you running away from something in your family of origin?
Yeah, kind of, I guess.
What were you running away from?
Well, my mom's kind of like, she's kind of abusive when I was little, you know.
How about your dad?
My dad wasn't even there, like my biological father.
All right, so you're set up for horrible relationships, right? Your male figure was abandoning and neglectful. Your mom was abusive and harsh. And you sound remarkably kind of okay.
How are you with your kids? You love your kids? You're cool with
your
kids?
Oh, yeah. I see my father. I see my mother. That's who I don't want to be like. So I kind of set my life like that.
Why don't you be very, very slow and cautious? Here's the deal. You're going to be attracted to guys that are the wrong guy. So find guys that are not quite so exciting and date them.
Go to the library. Hang out there.
Guys, there's going to be a lot of guys that would love to be your boyfriend, but they're not going to be the kind of exciting bad boys that you're into.
Yeah. I was kind of figuring that.
but unfortunately, you know, if you go, your alternative is to go get some therapy, because if you get therapy, all of a sudden those bad guys will not be nearly so attracted, nor will they be attracted to you. You'll be suddenly interested in healthier people. Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Alana Eubach in here. She's doing a lot of head nodding tonight.
Alana, you bitch to you, Drew.
She's you bitch to me.
Absolutely.
She's you bitch to you.
Chewbacca.
And she's done a thing called Stupid Awful 80s Film, which is on a CD. We're going to hear.
Yeah.
We'll hear it this hour, next hour. We'll hear it before the evening's out.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Why not?
And check out VelcroTroop.com or also MySpace at VelcroTroop.
Yeah,
correct?
You got it.
And any upcoming films?
Any upcoming films. What's going on right now? I'm just working on this development deal that I have with Warner Brothers. And
for a film or a TV series?
Warner Gold Miller for a TV series. Thank you
nice.
Very much. Yeah, as I flip my hair and smell my armpit. And it's hopefully like a half hour, and we'll see. I mean, I've got these really cool guys who I'm working with, these producers for Warner Brothers, and hopefully by 2007 something will come up. We also have Jay Moore producing Velcro as a series.
Wow.
And we're shopping it to different networks, and hopefully by the end of the month we'll be swimming somewhere. We'll find a home for it.
We'll be right back with Alana after this. Everybody, Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Alana Eubach in here tonight, and this is Cole. Cole.
Cole.
How's
it going? What's up?
What's happening?
Hey, I have a question, and it has to do with guys having multiple orgasms, and if it's healthy, and if it's, you know, you can actually do it.
It's okay with me.
Alana likes it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal.
Biologically
impossible. You can have sequential orgasms, meaning very short refractory periods, basically sort of same boner, so to speak, erection. And kind of keep going and then have another orgasm. That is not multiple orgasms. Women that have multiple orgasms will have one every 30 seconds until they are exhausted. They have no refractoriness. That's true multiple. Anything else is sequential. And males are simply not biologically configured for for true multiple.
Now, if you're holding back using your PC muscle, is that healthy?
Anything that, believe it or not, it's okay at your age, but anything that holds back orgasm or urine is actually really bad for your prostate. Considered not hygiene for your prostate, but that's fine. It's not, you know, you're 21. It's not a big deal. Just don't keep doing it at 50.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now you with the PC, with the Kegel exercises and that kind of thing, people do find that they can control their orgasm a little better sometimes. So that is something you can learn to do.
Think of baseball. Mm-hmm. I have a pool hose. 22.
Okay. Times. Well, and while I'm at it, just one kind of small question. Some of my friends kind of got into the whole, like, this Asian belief thing where, you know, letting out your semen or cum, it kind of takes away your energy, like, of men.
Does you're losing your chi. You're losing your chi.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Among
so
other
it's actually
things,
taking away a guy's vitality when he ejaculates a little bit?
Well, tell me exactly how that happens. Maybe we can discuss whether or not it's biologically possible. How would that work?
Well, a guy is kind of just...
Your semen's sitting in seminal vesicle. Your semen's sitting in seminal vesicles. It just sits there. So how is letting it out going to do anything?
Well,
do you know where the semen...
Like,
do you understand where semen comes from? Do you ever studied that biology?
From the scrotum.
No. Mm-hmm.
From the chota.
No.
From the butthole. From Hollander's cafeteria.
Warmer. There is your prostate creates all the secretions and the fluid, and the sperm sort of migrates up from the testes and is packaged into the seminal vesicles. These are just these sort of tubes that sit there and hold all of it, and when it's time to come out, it's released. That's it. It's sitting there. So it's not in your chi, or it's sort of almost outside your body at that point. Now, the reality is that the frequency of orgasm will affect circulating levels of testosterone. If you have too many orgasms or too few, your testosterone levels can fall. But that's about it. Okay?
Interesting. Okay.
Now, if you were, starving to death, your sex drive would drop quite a bit, and that's sort of a normal way your body conserves protein and fluid and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, right,
and
right.
So maybe, a lot of Chinese sort of belief systems came out of extreme adversity, if you look at the history of China. And so maybe that's where they came up with some of those ideas. But
some sick ideas, man.
But the reality is there's just not any good biology to support that. So, okay?
Okay, so an actual, like, nice balance of
balance.
Ejaculation. Not too
Cole,
much, too
little. Buddy, balance.
You don't
well
have to be
said.
Pai Mei from Kill Bill.
Balance.
Absolutely.
So that's the key of life.
Moderation.
Jason.
Hey.
What's happening?
Well, I'm a registered sex offender, right? And
nice.
I'm on parole right now.
Well, who isn't? I mean, whatever.
I am.
Delana is.
I play them.
Well, see, it's something from when I was 14. But the
what happened?
Problem is that now...
What happened when you were 14?
Well, when I was 14, I molested a young girl.
Oh,
and
man.
But I ended up going to prison, like, years later.
Why?
Because of stuff that happened in her family, and I ended up taking the blame for it. And so I...
Anderson, I told you.
He fessed up to the actual molestation, though.
No, but he went to prison because of something somebody else did.
It's still interesting watch.
No, I did it. I did the molestation.
Take the lure.
It's like,
all right, go ahead.
Other things happened that the reason why they came after me. And so I...
Like what? What happened?
Her mother was selling her for drugs and stuff like that, and so...
Oh, my
and when
gosh.
They asked her about it. And she said no, that I was having sex with her, and so then they came and asked me, and I admitted to what happened. And so then I ended up going to prison for it.
I got nothing.
By the way, the story is not fitting together at all, but go ahead, what's your question?
Okay, well, the problem is now that I'm out, I made a friend with a female person, and I'm, like, we're really good friends now, but I've known her for about a month. And my problem is I have to tell her all this stuff, and I want to know, like, how I should be able to tell her. Because it's like, I feel really bad about everything that happened.
All right. Well, what do you think, Alana? How should she go?
I don't know. I've never been in that situation. I never molested people when I was 14.
I would start with I was in jail. I did something. I was confused as a kid. I came from God knows what kind of family you came from.
Mm-hmm.
And I was honest about something I did when I was a kid, and I was freaking out. And I went to prison for it. And she's going to go, what, and you're going to tell her. And that's that. There's really no softer, kinder way of doing it.
The truth sets you free, my friend.
Well, you have no choice because people are going to find out about whether you like it or not.
Absolutely.
That's Alana Ubach. You know her from Meet the Fockers and Legally Blonde. Just everything.
You've seen my bush in waiting.
VelcroTroop.com is where you can look for her right now or go to MySpace for VelcroTroop. Phone number is 800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back with more you, more Drew, more Alana. Everybody, love line. Alana Ubach in here. It is 1-800-LOVE-191. And Alana was just telling me just as we were going to air here about...
Well, I wrote and created this little puppet show called The Fart Show. And
Alana, do you know how unique you are as a female to be appreciative of fart humor?
It's... Oh, my God. Well, you know what I thought? You know, I was with my boyfriend. We were driving the car, and he was on the phone with his friend Dave Keys. And I thought, wouldn't it be funny if there was a cartoon about a real live fart who smelled so bad that he couldn't get a job? And then his friend chimed in with, and he lives in Seattle and wants to be a rock star. I'm like, yeah, and he tries to copy Kurt Cobain, and he came from Miami.
Like? What does Mr. Fart look
he's
like?
He's the most adorable little thing you've ever seen. Because we figured if we were going to make a fart, he wears little jeans.
It's kind of funny.
He has a little Kurt Cobain green fuzzy sweater that he wore in Unplugged, you know, the same thing. And it's really cool. His best friend, he has a fortune cookie, and he has a cigarette butt. All things that have been thrown away in this huge garbage dumpster where he lives.
Oh, nice, nice.
Oh, so much fun. Working with puppets is wild.
It's Fart Bob Squarepants here.
Yeah. Fartshow.com. Check it out. It's fun.
And is this on just look up Fart Show, and that's it? You'll find it?
Fartshow.com. Okay. Absolutely. You're going to find
great,
it, and you click
domains.
It on.
Great domains. You've got these great names.
It's fun.
But most women think farts as disgusting. They really go, I don't see the humor. I don't get it. Do you like the Three Stooges?
I loved the Three Stooges.
See, you have a Y chromosome. I know it. Somewhere you're a mosaic or something. Because that is very unusual to appreciate that. Let me think of some other stuff that guys appreciate.
You know, my sister was very punk rock. When I was growing up, I was really influenced by her. She was like listening to...
She thinks farts are awful. I guarantee it.
Sure. She was going to Iggy Pop shows and stuff like that. So she was punk rock. She was cool.
You got the Stooges gene.
Yeah, my sister and I have farting contests. It's hilarious.
Oh, my God.
I've actually put a match by her butt one time, and she blew out the match.
And given that she is a licensed professional practicing Los Angeles air, she must be infinitely amused by this story.
That's my other sister.
Oh, I see.
She lives in Australia.
Australia, doing what?
Joking.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. I'm trying to cover my sister's ass, literally. Anyhow.
Wow. Anyway, here we go. This is Dylan.
Yes, hello, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Dylan, what's happening?
Not much. I just want to say I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
And here we go.
Right on.
Okay, I have no clue why, but I have one large pubic hair growing off the edge of my penis. And
the edge?
I alternate it like every few days. But, like, I don't know, it keeps growing back longer and faster. And I don't know, how should I get rid of it? I don't want to pluck it out or anything because it hurts too bad. Like, what should I do?
What do you mean the side of your penis? What does that mean? There should be pubic hair.
It's growing, inside of my penis.
Is it ingrown hair on your penis?
Yes.
Wait, you mean it's in the urethra where you pee out of? There's a hair that flies out of there?
Yeah, sometimes it gets... I don't know what to do.
I've actually seen that once.
Really?
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
You've led a wild and crazy life.
No, it was not in my own personal life. It was as a physician. And we had to pluck it out, as I recall. And I remember being associated with something. I can't remember what, though. And there are, believe it or not, worms and things that can get in there.
Sasquatch syndrome.
Some called schistosomiasis that can cause some pretty funky stuff. Have you ever been to Japan? That's where that comes from.
Really?
Yeah. Dylan?
Yes?
Dylan?
Dylan?
I think
ever been to Japan?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, I would urge you to see your doctor about this to make sure that it is, in fact, a hair and not something else.
Okay.
And they probably, we used a little surgical clamp to get it out, and I don't know how you prevent it from regrowing. This is searching my memory banks here. So I think it was at a dermatology rotation I saw this, and the dermatologist sort of said, these tend not to come back. It's sort of my recollection. So.
Oh, okay, cool.
We'll see. Drake.
Yeah.
So, going on there, buddy?
Well, I've always been straight, and, I've always been, in a relationship with girls. I've never been in a relationship with a guy. But, the last couple of years, I find myself, sexually compulsed towards guys.
Is this from Brokeback or something?
Absolutely, it's from Brokeback.
Okay. What do you mean compulsed towards guys?
I mean, like, I
sometimes I think about it, and I've looked at, like, bisexual porn and stuff like that. And
I've got the same problem.
Well, you like boys and girls?
No. I mean,
you sure?
Girls are gorgeous, but,
you like
I also like Rolls Royces. I don't want to have sex with them, you know. I like men.
But they do turn you on, the Rolls Royces, what you're saying.
Well, you know, I don't want to have sex with them.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Drake.
Yeah.
So I still not clear what you're talking about. You're talking about being compulsed to look at porn about gay men?
Well, I'm just like, I'm not sure exactly. I just find myself like sexually compulsed towards guys. Like I experimented with one of my friends one time. And I mean, it just kind of grew from there. And I'm not sure exactly what
Drake, you're being extraordinarily vague. What grew from there? What has happened since then?
I experimented with one of my friends and it was a guy, and like from there I just kind of, I guess I thought about it more and more, and now I'm just kind of like,
all right, I'm calling this out as bogus because I keep asking the same question over and over, and you do not give anything but a vague nothing.
What do you want?
I want to know what that means, that I thought about it more and more, and so now here I am. What does that mean?
When you masturbate, do you think of men?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
And that's troubling you? That's your primary...
It's not bothering me, but I'm just not sure what to, like, consider that. I mean, I don't know if I'm bi or what that's considered, and even if I am bi, then how am I supposed to go out, like, come out of the closet? Because I'm, like, one of those macho guys, and it's just not expected of me, I guess.
He doesn't sound too macho.
Is there such a thing as bisexuality?
That's why I'm asking you guys.
I mean, you know,
that is an internal question. That's non-sexuality. But actually, he's into girls. That's right. He's trisexuality. I beg your pardon.
And trisexuality. Dick, no doubt.
But, Drake, all I know is that you've had a gay experience and you sound confused. That's all I know, and that's all I can say. Does bisexuality exist? Probably. Is it common? Probably not. More commonly, it's people who are gay trying to resist that, or who are just plain old confused and are acting out sexually multiple kinds
of partners. I just wanted to see the wet pink stick.
Andy Dick. So, Drake, I get that you're confused. I hope that's why you're being so unclear with me, because otherwise this is a bogus call.
I promise.
Yeah. What happened with the guy that you experimented with?
We started to fool around, and then we just kind of stopped, I guess. And it was just kind of like a bad experience. And from there, I've just been curious as to, like, what the full experience is, I guess. And from there, this curiosity keeps growing. I keep wondering, like, what I can do to, like, either make it stop or...
Make it stop.
Shock treatment? That's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, there are people who would argue that there's things you could do, but
you're not hurting anyone.
But, you know, psychiatric literature would suggest that there's not a thing you can really do to stop. But you could... Are you dating girls at the same time?
Yeah, I am. I've never.
Does that reduce your preoccupation with men, or just nothing?
Not sexually, no.
Okay.
All right. So then you've got to go out and start dating gay guys. Go to the Gay and Lesbian Youth Center and meet some people and sort of sound out with people that have been through these sort of confusing experiences and see if you can get some help.
Where do you live?
In L.A.
Oh, the Abbey, baby. I live around the corner. It's fantastic.
What is it?
The Abbey.
What is it?
It's a gay coffee house. It's open until like 2 a.m. It's fantastic.
Where is it?
A lot of young, haughty boys.
Where is it?
It's on Robertson and Santa Monica. Plug.
The Abbey.
The Abbey. It's so
much
fun.
You can find a lot of you back there day and night. Jason.
Always trying to reform those boys.
Jason?
Yes?
Use condoms, right, Alana? Yes?
I'm in a monogamous relationship. I'm on the pill.
No, you too, Jason. But what's going on?
I'm sorry. Who am I talking to?
It's Drew and Alana Ubach.
Oh, thank you so much. My name is Jason. I'm from Corona. I had a question. I'm actually dating this girl right now, and I really think I like her a lot.
Good.
And my problem is I have to tell her that I have herpes.
Good times. Mm-hmm. Well, let's do a little role-playing here. Let's pretend Alana... What's your girlfriend's name? Give me a name.
Can I give you a fake name?
Yeah,
Michelle?
Yeah. Michelle? It's Michelle.
Michelle's perfect, yes.
Okay. It's in fact Michelle. Well done. So, Jason, you're going out. Where are you going to set this up? Where do you want to tell her?
I want to tell her in person, like, eye to eye, for sure. I mean...
Like, where? At a coffee house or a dinner?
No,
after dinner?
Like at my house.
So at your house, and you've just gotten back from dinner?
Am I a little buzzed?
Perhaps.
Have you been ladling wine down her throat?
Yeah.
You guys are funny. No, seriously, though. Like,
seriously, I'm going to have you role play with Alana, who's very good at this sort of thing. She's a trained
What's her nationality? I just got to get some, you know, some background.
Yeah, we got to get a
How old is she? What's her nationality?
I am European American.
She is,
baby.
Oh, her?
Into breakdown, yeah. Yeah.
She's also European American. I mean, no, we, like I said, we have, I think, a huge connection with each other.
Okay, cool.
And Jason,
cool.
What's her sort of, did she grow up in Corona herself?
No, she's she actually moved out here maybe about 10 years ago. She's kind of new to the city.
She lives half her life in Corona. Half her life in Corona.
Perhaps,
Got that. And is she working now?
Yes.
What kind of work does she do?
I think she's like a receptionist at some place.
Okay, and does she kind of have a religious background?
I don't want to give all the details to it.
I know. Just give us enough.
I've got her.
Okay, you go. Okay. Jason, you're coming back from dinner. You're at home. You're just sitting down to watch TV with your girlfriend, and here you go.
What I want to do is just tell her straight up. I want to say, look, you know, I have something that a lot of people...
Hold on. Alana is Michelle.
I know you do.
Alana is Michelle, so go ahead.
I know you got something.
Go ahead.
got something I want, and I want it right now.
She doesn't want it. No, that's the big problem is...
she doesn't want it?
No, she doesn't want my herpes. What do you mean?
Oh, did you already tell her you have herpes?
No, this is something new I want to tell her right now.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I don't want to tell her before... I want to tell her before I have sex with her because there's definitely a chance that she might have it or could get it from me, you know? And it's kind of a scary thing, you know?
Okay, let's start the scene. Jason, I'm not wearing any underwear.
Will you be with me? Will you see Michelle for a little bit for me?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Here we go.
So, Michelle, look, I think that we have a very, very great connection.
I was going to say that.
but I have to tell you something before we decide to have sex with each other.
Hold on.
Size does not matter.
She would react to that.
Size does not matter. I mean,
she would say, what makes you think? How dare you?
No, there's something you got to tell me now. What is it you got to tell me? Are you with someone?
No, I'm only with this. I'm with no one right now.
Are you gay?
Am I dirty?
Gay.
I can be, actually.
Gay.
Am I gay?
Gay.
Gay?
Yeah. What's the secret? What'd you want to tell me?
I have a sexual, an STD that is actually very common from what I hear. I've heard maybe one out of four or five people have it, called herpes.
Ah! You mean H? She's not going to react that way. Let me be real.
I hope not. Jeez.
Okay.
Afraid now.
Well, now here she goes.
Now, what exactly is that? Explain.
So basically, from what I've read, mostly on the internet, is that I mean, myself, I've only had it for maybe 8 months, 9 months, something like that. I've had like two outbreaks. I've heard that most people don't have outbreaks yet; they still have it, and they have no idea. Which is, I don't know. I'm not sure whether to be like the salesman, like, you know, you still be with me because I have it, but...
Well, I really care about you. Are you into condoms? Do you like putting on condoms? Will you wear a rubber?
I'm so about condoms. I don't have a problem with condoms. I mean, I do want to reproduce one day, and I think that herpes, you know...
It doesn't get in the way. Of course you can stuff kids.
But she's going to probably contract it in the course of that. But so what? It's just skin disorder. You'll be already married and having kids then. Who cares?
Who cares?
So it's no big deal. I mean...
You have it. It's a skin rash. It's no big deal. But people freak out about it. So be understanding of the freak out factor. But reinforce the fact that you really hope that she will stay with you because this is something... This is an important relationship. And this thing needn't get in the way.
Yeah.
Don't go too heavy in the sales. Go heavy on the how much I care about you, how much I want to make this relationship work, and we'll make it go.
And relax, dude. Just relax when you tell her.
Okay, so it's no big deal, basically. And I think other people should realize, too. I mean, I've actually done a lot of research on it, like on the internet, whatever, polls and such. It's a disease. It's not even a disease. I guess it's a disease, right?
It's a rash. It's a rash, Jason.
Herpes.
People freak out about it.
It's a lot less worse than like a common cold, really. I mean, nobody knows about it.
It's significantly less of a deal than most of the HPV viruses, which cause cervical cancer.
HPV it's ridiculous. You can actually not have kids if you have that eventually.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So just, you know, don't sell it too hard. Just be confident in what you know, okay?
Be strong, man.
All right. Good luck.
It'll be good, right?
Yeah, of course.
She's
a receptionist.
I will tell you what. Some people totally freak out and can't get their. They're so sort of phobic of these things, and they buy the headlines about it, that it's a complete deal breaker for them. There are those people. There are others that go, that are willing to listen and go, oh, okay, I
guess. Tell her to Google it. Tell her to Google herpes. Yeah. Tell her to do some research on it if she's so perturbed.
No big deal. And it's not like, she's not younger, too. I mean, she's in her mid-20s herself, so it's like, I don't know.
You just want to stay focused on how much you care about, how much you want to make it work, okay?
I'm going to work on that. Thank you, guys.
All right, buddy. Appreciate Take care now.
Absolutely.
Bye.
Well done, huh? Huh?
Such a smart little cookie, that man.
Allison.
Yes.
Here you go.
Okay. I'm his girlfriend, and I just heard them.
What's up, Allison?
I just had a question. When I have an orgasm with my boyfriend, I urinate sometimes, and I didn't know if that was common or...
You sure?
Some guys really like that.
But are you urinating, or are you...
I'm serious, dude.
I think a lot of it comes with these matter of facts. Like, yep, there you go.
Yeah.
But that's probably actually not urine, and probably more a female ejaculation. What makes you think it's urine? What?
I'm pretty sure it is.
What makes you think that?
Just by the smell and the texture.
Okay, it tends not to be. It tends to be female ejaculation, but okay. Mm. So... And does it bother him?
No, I just try to hurry up and cover it up all the time.
No, most guys are actually impressed when they can produce something. So they kind of like it. A lot of women feel ashamed of this. It's a very common thing.
It's like, yeah, I did that. Yeah. I did that.
And the key thing is, if you really want to milk it, so to speak, is to tell them, oh, it's never happened before. Only you could do that for me. Only you make that happen. Yeah. Wow.
See what you do?
That's
you
incredible.
See what you do? Yeah.
And he'll be all into it.
Okay.
And realize it probably isn't urine. It's probably female ejaculation.
Okay, I just didn't want to ask my doctor because I was too embarrassed or my friend.
No, it's very, very common. Okay?
Okay, great.
And again,
thank you.
The boyfriend's into it. I'm disturbed that women can't ask their other female friends about it. That always bothers me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, thank you very much.
So all right, take care. This is a call I would what's that?
Nothing. I was going to say something. I don't know.
Come on.
No, I'm garish, common, and vulgar, and I'm keeping it to myself.
Melissa.
Yes.
You're on with Lana Ubeck. She's garish, common, and vulgar. Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, my question is for you, Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I wanted to know more about the HPV vaccine that you were talking about. I heard a little bit about it last night.
There are two vaccines coming out. One of them has been approved finally by the FDA. It is going to eliminate virtually cervical cancer in this country. It is a huge deal.
Wow.
And everyone who's upright and of reproductive age should go get this vaccine. It's a little expensive, maybe about $300 a vaccine. And again, there will be two of them, and you want to get the... I think, to me, as I understand them, the more complete one is probably the way you want to go. But you can pretty much with either get the viruses that cause cervical cancer taken care of.
300, that's not bad. That's like the weekend of debauchery cancer. In Vegas,
and
you know?
And soon we're going to be doing it as part of the childhood vaccine programs very soon. It is exquisitely important that people get their hands on this soon.
Okay, and that's what I was asking about because last year I got pregnant and I had a miscarriage. And I was wondering if it might have had anything to do with that. Because I never...
How many weeks in did you have the miscarriage?
I was about 10 weeks. And I was diagnosed with HPV about 2 years before I got pregnant, and I never had any further examinations or anything.
Did you have any procedures on your cervix?
No.
Okay. That's unlikely to have anything to do with the miscarriage.
I was recommended to have a biopsy, but... I wasn't quite I didn't know what it was. I was kind of scared, so I didn't have it. And
go
get one.
Yeah, you need to get one maybe now. But, you need to sort of be completely reevaluated because the virus can go away on its own. When it does, when it sort of regresses by itself, that's the one that doesn't cause the cervical cancer. Mm. So if you were retested and the virus doesn't seem to be there or the precancerous changes aren't there, you're good to go. If you see anything else, get it biopsied. But then realize that if you have cervical procedures, there's an increasing, reasonably good body of evidence that having cervical procedures can increase the risk for second trimester problems with pregnancy. On the other hand, if you don't do them, you get the cancer, so you want to do it. And then finally, you have had the virus, but if you've cleared it, again, you don't have the more serious kinds of the virus, ones that cause cervical cancer, so you still want to get that vaccine. Make sense?
Absolutely.
Got it. don't we hear this 80s thing, the stupid, awful 80s film? Tell me about that.
Well, you know, basically, you know, Studley Peake and Moore are these guys who help us write these short films for sketch and for our Velcro sketch group. And I just recently wrote this rap song because I want to do a video for it. So it's ridiculous and stupid, and I like 80s films, and I just wanted to
to
do something about, you know, it's like,
where'd you do this?
Some studio in the valley.
On your Mac at home?
Cruising down Florence in my white Trans Am. Pulling to the parking lot of Video Land.
What?
Needing my fix of the never-ending story. Uh-huh. There was collecting dust and all of this. Checking out a new release as I was passing by was a stupid sophomore renting American Pie. That's a rent American Virgin.
Yeah.
Before I kick your nuts and the Korean order came out, he yelled,
what's with all the fucking?
I said, check it out, Mr. Wang. This boy is too trendy. His girlfriend's holding King Kong and head to toe in Fendi. Mr. Wang said, shoot his balls off. I don't got no rules. Peter Jackson's a loser. It's John Hughes who rules.
The boy said, the 80s, John Hughes.
My father's in Iraq. I said, follow me, punk ass. I ain't gonna attack.
Wow.
I want to show you things that are really worth seeing. The millennium's a joke,
but the 80s, I believe it.
I want a really bad, stupid, awful 80s film.
Yeah.
I want my really
like
bad,
what?
Stupid,
what's the most stupid, awful 80s film?
I want my super top
turn. Porky's, easy money, baby. Nice and funny.
Sherman Oaks, a culture club, hat, gray vest.
What?
Paul Gleason, growling, time to take a test. I forgot my pencil. John Bender said, in the Breakfast Club, which eventually led.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Transformers, the
okay.
Pretty in pink.
Yeah, oh, yeah, baby. Lock that down, man.
The
all about that.
Problems. Who gives it? Who do you? Didn't matter. Jamie Gertz left me some.
Lesson zero.
Who gives a slippy Meryl Streep was good and soapy choice. Jake Ryan's a real actor, man. He drove a Rolls Royce.
Remember Jake Ryan?
Whatever bites of milk does in a large Mr. Pitt. You'll wet your jock like a baby. You'll need a bill. I want a really bad, stupid, awful 80s film.
I want a really bad, stupid, I got a dirtier version online.
Really? Okay, so what's where can they find the dirtier version?
In a couple of days, we're going to put it online at AlanaUbach.net.
Oh, you have your website now.
Yeah, I do. I've got this really cool friend, Bill Abbey, who lives in Michigan, and he's amazing. He owns this Rockstar Media Group, and he put this really nifty little website together for me. And it's AlanaUbach.net, and you can download, or you can put it on iTunes for free. You can download it on a really nasty version of it. I cuss. I say terrible, bad things about,
apparently you can hear more Alana doing Paul Lynde.
Absolutely.
Isn't that what you were just doing?
Absolutely.
Okay, good, excellent. Now, nobody except you and I know who that is, but...
Actually, I don't, but I was pretending.
You don't? But you did him. He was the Center Square in the Hollywood Squares when it was a daytime show.
Oh!
He was this gay man that was on Laugh-In, and he was one of Bewitched... What was Uncle Something, one of the Bewitched characters?
Was he Larry?
No. He's one of the witches, one of the four warlocks.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But he was the gayest of gay. Gayest of gay men. He sort of broke the mold for everyone to follow.
I do feel like a homosexual man in a woman's body.
You must be with that. You're into the fart humor and the stooges and everything.
It's awful.
I'm just trying to think of the other things that just are uncharacteristic of having two X chromosomes. Really, I'm intrigued. How could this be? Any favorite stooges? I mean, do you like the Shemp ones?
I love Curly because he's just adorable and really light on his feet, but plump. He reminds me of my English bulldog.
Did you watch Shemp?
I was in love with Curly.
Shemp. I'm zeroing
Shemp
in on
was adorable.
You were okay with
absolutely.
Shemp?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
It was incredible. It's incredible. Oh, we found a new...
Physical comedy's hard, man.
Call us here at 1-800-LOVE-191. More Alana, more Drew. Alana Eubach, you know her from many, many, many films, and also VelcroTroop.com. We'll be right back. It is Loveline with Alana Eubach, or Eubitch. You can call her by anything, and she knows who you're talking about. It's VelcroTroop.com. Of course, she was last seen in Waiting. Then she's got another development deal with Warner Brothers. And did you say it was Jay Moore was helping you with that one? Or was that a
Jay
different
Moore
one?
Is helping us with Velcro.
Huh?
He took a look at Halloween with the Pits and Christmas with the Cruises and the E! True Hollywood Story of Snap, Crackle, Pop. Really got turned on. Got a hold of my boyfriend, said, Skyler, it's Jay. I like your stuff, and I just want to promote.
He does not talk that slow.
Funky Father.
There you go. That's true. What's that, Anderson?
Funky Father.
There he is.
Donkey Father.
That's him.
Funky Father.
Donkey Father.
Thanks, Jay. This is Erica.
That was Funky Father.
You got to change that name to Jasper Jones.
It is a great.
Because you're a hound dog. And who's the big pig woman with the jug?
Erica, what's going on there?
I was just wondering. I've been having a lot of, like, weird dreams, like, sexual fantasy dreams lately about girls. And I've been wondering, like, how to go about stopping that.
You mean while you're sleeping or sort of fantasizing in daydream quality?
While I'm sleeping. I've never had a problem with that before. And, like, I have a boyfriend and...
It doesn't really mean anything, Erica. It's just, in our culture, women sort of embody sexuality, and they're a lot more appealing than men anyway, let's face it. Yeah. And women look at them and can get aroused, and it doesn't mean they want to have sex with them. In fact, women have an interesting sort of mechanism in their brain where arousal and drive can be disconnected. So they can get aroused by seeing something, but don't have a drive to go after it necessarily. While men, arousal and drive are always linked.
What's having a dream about a snake with a vest on making out with you, named Carl?
Was Adam present? Somebody named Adam, or Eve? Were you calling yourself Eve at the time? Or
I don't know.
No, just saying.
Oh, wow, that's deep, man. A fruit tree nearby?
I
was looking for one, but I couldn't find one in my dream.
Ah, that's even... just saying. So, Eric, I wouldn't worry about it. This is something that will pass. I can pretty much guarantee it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you're okay, right? You're good relationships, and you feel good.
Yeah.
Feel okay about yourself.
Yeah.
How long has this been going on for?
Just like this past month. Like, I've always dreamed about guys, and then all of a sudden it started happening with females, and it's just been kind of, like, weird for me.
You're fine. Relax. You have no intentions, right? You're just having these free-floating ideas, right?
Yeah.
You're good times. Relax.
Right about it. Brain's a cool thing. Mm.
Mm. Oh, God damn it.
What'd you just say?
I said God damn it.
Go to the corner. I'll take the caller.
George or Jorge? I didn't quite get that.
Jorge!
Yes, Jorge.
Gormez.
Jorge, go ahead.
Yes, I got a question for Alana.
Yeah, hi, Jorge. What's up?
Hi. I was just wondering, I didn't really exactly know who you were today. I'm sorry. I went on to Yahoo.
Wait. Now, hold on. Did you see Meet the Fockers?
Have you seen Romper Room? If you haven't seen Romper Room.
Stop now. Meet the Fockers, you see that?
Yes.
You remember the lusty housekeeper?
The chunky housekeeper.
Yeah. With the son that looked exactly like...
Oh, yeah.
How about the movie Waiting? Did you see Waiting?
Waiting? Oh, yeah, that restaurant movie.
Yeah. Describe that character. She makes out with Andy Milonakis.
Yeah, I was the alcoholic in that. But, hey, cool.
She has range. But what's going on?
How you doing?
Okay, so I went on to Yahoo Images today, and I typed in Alana Ubach, and I saw all these naked pictures of you, I think. I just wanted to know if there was a real, you know?
Never taken a nude picture in my life, baby. But I actually, how did I look? That's all I want to ask.
Look it up.
Was I hairless?
Yes. Shaved.
Minimal hair? Like Brazilian wax or totally bald?
Well, it was actually like a landing strip, you know?
Right on. I'll tell you something. I only did a bikini shot, and whoever got a hold of that, I've never really posed nude. I know you're lying. But unless someone superimposed my head on something, and it better have been like, we're talking Pamela Anderson or
Gil's
something.
How did
my boobs look?
Well, Gil's got it up here on the engineer, Gil.
Let's see how my boobs look. If they look as like cassava melons, I ain't complaining. But are they droopy?
No, pretty perky.
Oh, fantastic. That's all that matters.
Also...
Get some Vaseline and have a blast, Jorge.
Oh, yeah, also...
Lordy.
What's that, buddy?
Also, I just want to say one more thing.
Yeah.
My good friend TJ, he loves you. Yes.
All right on, TJ.
Even though you didn't know who she was?
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, TJ.
Fantastic.
Keep watching. That's awesome.
Justin.
Jorge.
How's it going?
Hey there.
Hi.
Dr. Drew and company.
Hey, it's Alana Ubach.
You bitch.
What's up?
It must be gay night on Love Line tonight, huh?
It's all good.
Are you going to keep that theme going?
I'm going to keep it going.
Okay.
I don't know. This one might be weird, but just hang in there, all right?
Yeah, go ahead.
I love the gays. Let's hear it.
All right. So I just recently came out last summer or so, and unbeknownst to my roommate, my best friend, I made a move on him in his sleep. Yeah, thanks for the music. Anyways, so... But I thought he was gay, you know? I mean, he totally made the move the whole bit. But, and, you know, I keep asking him, you know, what's going on, you know?
Did he freak out?
No, he didn't say a word. That's just him, though, you know? He's not going to ever say a word about it. I brought it up to him once, too, and he totally ignored it. And was like, you know...
Wait, how far did you get with him?
No, I wasn't even that far. You know, it was just like the intention of doing it.
I see, and then he sort of pushed back, but then never brought it up again.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually kind of nice, really. I mean, he didn't make a big deal out of it. He just said, let's forget about it and just pushed it away.
But at the same time, you see, we had a threesome once with my other roommate. Okay, all the roommates, we had sex. My wife had really boy. Sex.
Three boys? Three men?
No. Me, him, and our female roommate. And, you know, he was, like, touching me, you know, kind of sexually, and we didn't do anything past that. But it was more like, whoa, you know, where are you coming from? I thought, you know, you weren't like this, blah, blah, blah. You know.
He said he thought that about you.
No.
Well, you thought during the act that you didn't think he was gay, and it sort of gives you hints that he might be.
Yeah. And so, you know, and since he hasn't said anything, I don't know what to do, you know? And he's my best friend, so I don't want to, like, break up our friendship over this, you know? And I've said that to him before.
All right, it seems like he just wants to let it lie and not deal with it. On the other hand, you're spinning about it, obsessing about it, can't let it go.
Yeah.
I'm afraid that one of the reasons you want to sort of dig in with him is you're going to sort of try to coerce him into something. You've got a little more intention. You're like some of our female callers who say, no, we're just friends. We're friends. But we know they're in love with the guy. And it seems like you've got those kinds of feelings going here. And so I don't know that they're going to be reciprocated. So by bringing it up and digging it up again, I suspect it's going to get weird. That's what's going to ruin the relationship potentially, you think? Because he's the guy's giving you clear signals, let it go. And that means I want to stay a friend.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Do you have a crush on him? Is that what the problem
is? I think Justin's really into him.
Yeah,
you're really in Justin, aren't you?
Oh,
yeah, more of a friendship. I mean, that's what I wanted to be, you know, so bad.
Yeah.
No, you don't. You want to go, you want it to be more. Let's be serious here. Come on.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you think it would be easy to move on?
No, but don't move on. Just let it stay. The guy has sort of said, let it go. I'm still your good friend. I don't want to. It's going to get weird as soon as you start pushing. I've got these feelings. I need to. Why can't we? That's going to start to be a problem. Because you know men. If he were into you, if he reciprocated the feelings, Justin, you'd know it.
Yeah.
Right? You'd know it. So now, and I don't think it's just that he is or is not gay. I just think he wants the friendship, and that's that. Maybe you ought to, you know what you could do? Engage him in a conversation about sexual orientation. Just have sort of like your abstract conversation. You know, first time I noticed, and this is how I kind of came to deal with it, and here's how I feel about it. Did that threesome give any weird feelings to you? Just sort of bring it up as an abstraction. And so you can see, is he really not gay at all, and is that part of the thing here? Or is he, in fact, gay, and, you know, might this door be open someday? Okay?
Yeah,
I think that'd be the way to go about it. But realize, if you start unloading these growing feelings that you're having, it's going to make for a weird friendship.
Exactly. And I don't want that.
All right. Good luck. Wow. Good luck.
Thanks, bud.
Keep the boundaries. Maintain boundaries.
Good luck, man.
Hannah.
Hi. How are you tonight?
Hey, that's there. We're name. Good. Hi, you're Alana Ubach.
I'm good. I just had, I don't know if it's a normal question, but my boyfriend...
Not on this show. There don't seem to be any normal show. Normal questions tonight.
Normal,
especially with Alana here. She's into farts.
Absolutely
and Three
not.
Stooges, and what are you going to do?
Three Stooges.
Well, there's some people that just aren't normal.
one's normal.
Now I'm offended.
Everyone's crazy. Everyone's insane. And exactly. The people who say they aren't are the craziest, as a matter of fact.
I'm innocent. No, I'm blank. No, my boyfriend's 13 years older than me, and we've been together for a few years now. And I'm just a naturally horny person, and I'm always trying to get it from him.
That's
just
adorable.
Just because I really enjoy it. But I'm just curious, he'll come the first time, but he won't the second time if we have sex twice in one day.
That's normal, isn't it?
It's amazing you can get squeeze something out of him every day. Some guys in their mid to late 30s have trouble continuing at that level even.
Oh.
So twice a day for a guy in his 30s would be a little bit, for most guys, a little bit of a tall order.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he's doing it out of obligation or anything.
No, he probably enjoys it and still into it. And more than anything, enjoys that you're into it. But the fact that he can't orgasm is simply a biological fact. He just, there's not enough fluid accumulating fast enough.
All right.
You
I
got
just
it?
Wanted to make sure.
Relax. Alana, again, a lot of nodding. She seemed to have done some field work on this one.
Absolutely.
And guys, they're mid-30s. Not able to produce fluid.
If he's listening, he would kill me.
Not able to produce fluid twice.
Oh, well, it's like, you know. What are you going to do?
Ooh, that's where she had that. I found the limits of Alana's humor. I found it. I've discovered where she will
and
will not go.
I mean, I know my boyfriend's listening. I don't want to talk about like an ass, you know.
You do, but you know he's listening, and therefore you won't.
We'll talk about it on my bike.
Okay. Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. That is Alana Eubank. You know her from many films, and then we've said they're VelcroTroop.com, T-R-O-O-P or T-R-O-U-P-E, mm-hmm. or MySpace. Look for Velcro Troop. Right?
Absolutely. And Skyler, my boyfriend, he performs on college nights at Laugh Factory. Check it out Tuesday.
We're
going to
get him up here,
it's
I guess.
Dirty and fun.
Isn't Ann going to bring him up here?
Yeah, yeah, totally. That'll be awesome.
All right, we'll be right back with more Alana, more Drew, more you after this. Alana, you're back in here. A breath of fresh air. Thank you for being such a delight.
Oh, this is so much fun.
And reacting so honestly, even though you won't allow us to get into your relationship with your boyfriend because, you know.
Oh, ask me questions. I'll tell you the truth.
He's
it's all
listening.
Good.
I'm just saying. It's all right. It's okay.
He's on like a horse, and I'm very proud of that.
Now, after having said that, we can say anything. Do you understand how it works?
Absolutely.
Okay. And you made out with Andy Milonakis. How freaked out could he be? Just saying.
He's adorable. Andy Milonakis.
He is a nice guy.
He's just absolutely delicious. The deliciousness has come to a crescendo as far as I'm concerned.
You don't have any more Andy Milonakis stuff, Anderson, for us? That we haven't heard yet?
Let me check.
Okay.
I'll hump you with a loaf of bread and make you cheat on Atkins. That's my favorite line he's ever come up with.
That's him? Alana, you can see her at Velcro Troop. Velcro. I keep calling Velcro. VelcroTroop.com. Obviously in waiting opposite Ryan Reynolds and Andy Milonakis, as we've been saying. And
had sex last week and now I feel the sting. I pick up the phone and ring, ring, ring. A sexy voice answers, who can it be? It's the diggity doctor and the fat MC. Dr. Drew gives answers, he always comes correct. But if you got mental problems, you better get checked. Pop some pills if you can't get erect. And if your vagina stinks, I'm going to break your neck. Peace, God.
Genius, I tell you. Genius,
oh
that young man.
Oh, my gosh.
Genius. I think you started as a computer nerd.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Meet the Fockers, also a Legally Blonde series. You know, you, Ivana.
Ivana Trump.
Alana. God.
Chewbacca, you bitch.
Let's take this you bitch, indeed. Michelle.
Hi.
Hey there.
What's up?
We're wondering what you called about.
Well, actually, I'm
not eating the Raisinettes either, by the way, Alana. Here you go. Eat some of these Raisinettes.
I know
things.
You want some.
I do. Okay, what's up?
Well, actually, I just heard Hannah's call, mm-hmm. and she said her boyfriend can't orgasm twice in one day or every day.
Because he's older. He's Alana Eubank's boyfriend's age.
Oh,
those guys,
okay.
They can't keep up.
Oh, he can keep up a little too much, for God's sake.
Well, my boyfriend's 21, and he can go, like, 6 times a day, and we definitely, like, every day. Is that's normal.
Oh, boy.
Well, you're making Anderson resentful and envious, but some guys in their 18 to 22 sort of window can...
Don't you guys have day jobs? School? What
right,
do you
I know how
do?
You do it. I don't know how you have time for 6 times a day. But twice a day would not be unusual at that age group.
Hey, Drew,
six
when
time
I close
day.
My eyes and think of you, I can go at least 7.
Yeah, for real. I was wondering, I don't know, sometimes I think the most has been 8, but definitely every day, so...
At least once a day, you mean?
Yeah, at least once, twice.
Do you enjoy it every time, or don't you ever want to miss it and give your poonsy a rest?
No, that's what periods are for, you know.
I hear
oh,
you.
Oh, he lets you go then during the period.
Yeah.
Oh, we got a 4-day break. Good
I would
you.
Think a 6-time-a-day guy would barrel right on through whatever. But anyway. All right. So, all right. Yes, he is, you know, when I hear about that degree of activity, I worry about bipolar disorder. I worry about trauma histories because that can make you sexual compulsive and addiction in general. Not to say that it couldn't just be a guy's normal rhythm, but it makes me wonder about those things. So kind of keep your eyes open to it.
Okay.
Okay?
I worry about babies, Drew.
And I worry about babies. Thank God bless you, Anderson, for saying that. Hold on a second. What are you doing for birth control, Michelle? Oh, my God. What?
Well, we've been together.
Don't be telling me he pulls out.
He comes into a huge vat, which he bathes in once a month.
That's Michelle. He's douching and showering her, and for God's sakes, you're not on a birth control?
No.
That is not funny.
That's something to laugh about.
Is he wearing condoms?
Sometimes. We've been together a year. And
that is not funny, Michelle. That is not funny. It's not really? Funny. Not funny.
No, you're going to get pregnant, sweet.
Yeah, I don't know. So, like,
I'm getting older now, and I start to worry about it sometimes. Like,
worry about what? About getting pregnant?
About getting pregnant. I mean, I know we both don't have anything, but there's the pregnancy issue.
Do you have a gynecologist?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you had a pap smear?
4 weeks ago.
And did you talk to your gynecologist about birth control?
Yeah, they prescribed it to me, but I was afraid of taking it.
Do you understand that pregnancy is infinitely more risky than birth control pills?
Yeah.
Okay, pregnancy is basically the ultimate sexually transmitted disease, and it's not a normal state, and it is risky.
What are you afraid of with birth control? Have you heard that people go through mood swings and stuff like that?
Gaining weight.
Gaining weight.
Look what happened to Britney Spears.
Poor thing.
gaining weight. My mom's a nurse, so she tells me about, they cause blood clots and all that stuff.
No, not
kidding?
At your age.
No.
That's ridiculous.
That's her telling you she doesn't want you to have sex.
That's exactly right.
Exactly.
But at least use condom fastidiously, use it properly, leave room at the tip, hold the base as you pull out, and keep the morning after pill around because if the condom should fail. Kelly.
Hi.
Hey, what? You're on with Alana Ubach.
What's up, Kelly?
Hello. I have a question, Dr. Drew. Back in November, I was raped by I thought was a friend. And ever since then, I kind of been, staying away from relationships and all. Well, anyway, I just started one, and the other day, me and my boy was fooling around, and I noticed that he's, extremely huge, and it made me really, really nervous. And, I really don't know what to do or what to say to him because, in a way, it's kind of like now I want to take the relationship even 10 times more slower than, I guess, normal. And
how big are we talking? Like a squash or like a large plantain?
Like squash.
It is.
Oh, my gosh.
Grand.
Sure you didn't sort of exaggerate what it looked like just based on your recent sort of trauma experience?
A squash.
No, it was big. I'm sorry, it was big.
Zucchini.
Creepy big.
Circus freak
I have
thing,
a nickname for him, but I'm not going to call him it because he's probably listening. So, yeah.
Oh, you've got to tell us. Come on. Only he knows it. How's anybody going to know who you're referring to?
Yeah, I feel bad. No, but honestly, it's really big. And I don't know. I feel really bad. And I'm a full-time student, so it's I don't know if I'm stressed out because I'm almost about to graduate or if it's that, mixed in with this, but...
Or the rape. Were you ever treated? Did you talk to anybody about the rape?
Friend, that was it, and kind of left it alone, and, I, went to the doctor, make sure everything was cool, and...
All right. What do you want to... How can we help you?
I don't know. Am I supposed to feel that way? Is that, is it just normal, or should
it's
I...
It's normal to have a certain amount of anxiety. I doubt most women would sort of recoil from the relationship if it was somebody you were really into, although I will tell you that for sure, too big, once you try to have sex, if it really is uncomfortable, too big can be a deal breaker, and it's more often on this show a deal breaker too big than too small.
Oh, my bladder infections.
Right. Andre.
Hey, what's happening? How y'all doing, man?
We're good.
What's up?
Well, I just met a beautiful woman there, and we've had sex twice. Well, the second time, she told me that she's really into anal sex and that she, can have an orgasm from it, right?
Hmm.
But here's the problem. Yeah. I'm a little over 9 inches.
Oh, my gosh, don't do it.
Yeah, and it's not so much the length as it is the width.
You got to get out there and get your bitch spunk
drunk.
All right. Are we talking a cucumber?
Oh, here we go again.
It's
spaghetti squash.
A tomato?
No, it's thick and long.
All right, we got it, Andre. You got it. Okay. She ain't into it. She wants anal sex, but not with you. Is that right?
No, she wants me to do it, but I keep on trying to tell her because she said that she has an orgasm from it, right?
Right.
But see, the problem is that I'm trying to explain to her, I want to satisfy you. We can do it with a toy or something, I don't know what kind of damage I'm going to cause to this girl trying to...
Andre, God bless you for being a man that's caring about this. Thankfully, you don't seem to be in the whole anal sex thing, even though the girlfriend is. You can cause damage to that area, but generally speaking, if you go slowly, use lots of lubricant, and stop or at least slow down when she has pain, because pain will tell you that her body is not accepting what's going on. I think things will be okay. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She'll let you know.
And yes, you can cause problems. I very really worry about later in life, women having more rectal pathology, because as you get to your 70s and 80s, older ladies have lots of problems already.
They're sharp.
And after, they have rectal prolapse, all that stuff. And by the time this generation hits that age, we're going to have...
A lot of sharding.
What do you call it?
A lot of sharding in public.
Sharding.
Mm-hmm. You figure it out,
babe. Another Stooges reference. Okay, phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. It's Alana Ubach in here. You know her from many different films, and of course, we've been promoting the VelcroTroop.com.
I'm apparently naked online. What's that about?
Did you see the pictures?
Yeah, couldn't right next to Meryl Streep.
Gil couldn't find it. So anyway, but we're going to come back to wrap up and wrap down after this. It's Loveline. Anderson, thank you for chiming in tonight and making us feel so comfortable and bringing all those drops in.
So dirty,
what
Anderson.
Are you talking about, Drew?
I don't know. It's just you seemed like you were on top of us tonight. It was nice. And Alana Ubach, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
I hope you will come back very, very soon.
Oh, absolutely.
In fact, we're trying to twist your arm into coming back maybe even this week, maybe bringing some friends with you.
Absolutely.
Some of your famous cohorts.
I would love to. I'll bring all the schmucks.
It was.
We'll have a great time.
It really was fun having it. I appreciate
right on.
It. So until you hear us next time, and keep tuning in, because Alana's going to be here later in the week again with, I'm not going to tell you what's going to be.
Stay dysfunctional and give us a call.
And we'll be back next time. Stay well. This is Dr. Drew. Good night.
Good night.